I find it something of an oddity that, as information becomes more and more available via the internet, with each passing year, kids and young adults sometimes seem to know less and less. I would note, as I've had it pointed out to me, that there's a lot of unreliable info out there as well, but it seems to me that it's easy enough to stick with credible sources and websites to locate solid information. I've also heard that the reason younger folks seem to know less is that they don't have to know it because they can just look it up. I have to confess, as a former classroom teacher, I don't find that answer very satisfying. To me, it very much feels like a failing of the system, such as texting, emailing, and social media, eroding the writing abilities of so many. Another observation that's become something of a soapbox thing with me. I do not mean to turn today's episode into a soapbox opinion kind of thing, and in light of that, you're probably wondering, well, then why did you bring it up? The answer to that is that today's topic deals with history, U.S. history, and I am of the opinion that some of our kids are growing up with a shallower knowledge and less of an appreciation for that history. Perhaps that's just an opinion, but I know others who share that same opinion. At any rate, let's cast our eyes ahead to this weekend, when we'll have a chance to remember, as well we should, one of our country's darker moments. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Of course, I'm talking about Sunday, which will be the 15th anniversary of the terrorist attacks that have popularly been labeled 9/11, based on the date of their happening. As I thought about 9/11 as a topic for this week, a number of things came to mind. One was that for pretty much any school-aged kid today, 9/11 is as foreign of a history topic as any of our country's wars, all the way back to the Revolutionary War. They either didn't exist when it happened, or they were too young to have any memory at all. That feels odd to me, because for me, probably like many of you, it feels like it happened just the other day. Like many of you, I remember exactly what I was doing on that day and where I was. I was teaching 6th grade at Wilson Elementary School in Wilson, Kansas, and my kids were at PE. A small TV was on in the elementary school office, and a few of my colleagues were gathered around it watching. I joined them. At the time I stopped to watch, it was moments from the second jet crashing into the Twin Towers. It still gives me a hollow, haunted feeling inside to remember watching that as it was happening. In a 1948 speech to the House of Commons, Winston Churchill paraphrased a quote by a man named George Santayana and famously said, "Those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it." I'm not suggesting that we'll face a similar act of terrorism if we don't remember the first, though my own opinion is that stuff like this is probably going to increase in the years to come. However, I think the first part of that quote certainly bears consideration. Even as we move forward, it is incumbent upon us as a people, as a society, to remember our past, good and bad. To that end, I'd like to remember 9/11 today, on the cusp of its 15th anniversary. I think maybe it's been long enough that some folks don't remember the facts about it, though it happened less than 2 decades ago. Here are the simple facts from that day. On September 11, 2001, 19 men hijacked 4 fuel-loaded U.S. commercial airlines bound for West Coast destinations. The attacks were orchestrated by then-Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. A total of 2,977 people were killed in New York City, Washington, D.C., and outside the small town of Shanksville, Pennsylvania, population less than 300, in the worst terrorist attack in U.S. history. I mentioned watching the second plane crash into the Twin Towers, more correctly known as the World Trade Center. At the World Trade Center site, located in Lower Manhattan, 2,753 people were killed when hijacked American Airlines Flight 11 and United Airlines Flight 175 were intentionally crashed into the North and South Towers. Those towers completely collapsed. The victims at that site ranged in age from 2 to 85 years old. Approximately 3/4 of the victims were men. Several hundred were firefighters and police officers of various sorts who responded to the plane crashes and were on site attempting to help with rescue efforts. Meanwhile, another plane, American Airlines Flight 77, was crashed into the Pentagon building in Washington, D.C. The jet was crashed into the west side at 9:45 a.m. Jet fuel from the 757 caused a devastating fire that caused a portion of the building to collapse. 125 military personnel and civilians were killed who were in the Pentagon at the time, along with all 64 people who were on the plane. And finally, near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, 40 passengers and crew members aboard United Airlines Flight 93 died when the plane crashed into a field. We know something of what went on with this flight for a couple of reasons. The plane had been delayed at takeoff, and passengers on board were able to learn of the other crashes. Many were in contact with family and friends via cell phones, and portions of what happened were heard over their cell phones. Several passengers rushed the cockpit, broke in, and attempted to retake control of the plane, leading to the crash near Shanksville. The plane's destination was never known, but some speculate the White House, the Capitol building, or possibly several nuclear power plants that were within range. This plane crash, for many, often sparks the most emotional response, as we have recordings of the last words and thoughts of several passengers who knew they would not survive. The attacks of September 11, 2001 were the deadliest terrorist act in world history and the most devastating foreign attack on American soil since the attack by the Japanese on Pearl Harbor. That was December 7, 1941, by the way, and what got the U.S. officially involved in World War II. And while this was an act of terrorism committed against the U.S., it resounded with people from around the globe. More than 90 countries lost citizens in the attacks. Because this is Field Notes, I always try to tie it in some way to the outdoors, even when it's a history lesson or a soapbox topic. To that end, I'll share the following. I'm sure that a great many people who lost their lives that day were dedicated, devout lovers of the outdoors, whether hiking, camping, hunting, fishing, or whatever the specific pursuit might have been. And I feel equally certain that many of them passed along their love of the outdoors to others who even now still have that passion. By way of a specific example, I'll share the following. Richard Guadagno. Rich, at the time the refuge manager of Humboldt Bay National Wildlife Refuge in California, was one of the people on board United Airlines Flight 93 that crashed into rural Pennsylvania. He was returning from a vacation with his parents in New Jersey. He was a native of New Jersey and had served at a number of refuges on the eastern side of our country, including Great Swamp and Sapana refuges in New Jersey, John Heinze at Tinicum in Pennsylvania, and Prime Hook in Delaware. He was 38 years old when he died. According to one account I read, Rich came to love animals in the outdoors during his childhood days in New Jersey, leading to a career as a biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He graduated from Rutgers University and was working on a career that had spanned 17 years. As mentioned, he had been to New Jersey to visit family, and after celebrating his grandmother's 100th birthday, he was aboard Flight 93 and headed home on September 11th. His badge and credentials, identifying him as a federally trained law enforcement officer, were recovered at the crash site. One thing I read about him that registered was someone who said that Rich never lacked the courage to do the right thing. I am sometimes amazed at the litany of activities or talents that people can acquire over the course of their lives, even those whose lives are cut short. In the case of Rich, his list included cooking, gardening, geology, astronomy, and photography, all tied together by his love of nature. He was an accomplished stained glass artist. He took classical guitar lessons and then, not content with just knowing how to play, he learned how to build them. While it is not known for certain, it is thought that he was one of the passengers that took a proactive approach and tried to intervene by retaking the cockpit on Flight 93. Those who knew him say that was certainly in line with his personality. If you hadn't previously heard about Rich Guadagno before, well, now you have. If you're old enough to clearly remember what happened on that day 15 years ago, well, maybe Sunday would be a good time to reflect on it a bit. If the acts of terrorism that transpired on that day are nothing more than some fleeting thought brought about by some movie or Facebook meme, well, maybe it's time you took a moment to dig a bit deeper to better understand what happened that day. I'll be moose hunting on September 11th. I've had a trip lined up for over a year now. There are a lot of people in the world who'd rather I didn't have the freedom that allows me to do things like hunt moose. I can guarantee you that on Sunday, I'll be thinking about those who put their lives on the line against such people, just so I can have the freedoms I do. And there you have it. Another soapbox done. I'll climb down now. Have a terrific weekend, everyone. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.